So like I get the opportunity to introduce Nikki. I can say honestly, I've known him for about 13 years. It's a
long time.
It's a long time, yeah. He always told me, don't get so deep. Don't get so deep. But it's just such an honor just to have Nikki and Tanya here. Being able to introduce him and seeing Merv here. There's men that have had huge impacts in my life, in my faith walk, that have seen me and walked with me through my worst and even in my best, and have kept me grounded, always spoken truth into my life when I didn't want to hear it. And I can honestly say, without the love that they have had for me, I don't think we would be here today because of the impact that they had in our lives. And so it's really an honor to have you here, Nikki. And Father, we just want to thank you for today. We want to thank you that we can come in and just minister your word and worship you in freedom and in truth. Jesus, that we can grab hold of your garment and we don't have to let it go. We can pull ourselves closer and closer to you. We want to thank you. We want to pray that the word that comes out, Father, that it'll go deep and it'll cut deep, Father God. Separate those things that you don't want within us to that which you want to plant in us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Bobby. Living legend, eh? If I didn't know you, I thought you're the bouncer here. The way you stood next to Madness while he was speaking. It's like, don't mess with that oak. It's wonderful to be here. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Nikki and my wife Tanya. We have two boys, Benjamin and Sebastian. They were wild ones and now they've calmed down, which we're very grateful for. And we've got two Italian water dogs that are emotional in Italian. And we made the mistake of leaving the bin inside the house when we left now. So we're going to get home and it's going to be chaos. So we're bracing ourselves for that. And we had two chickens, Jennifer Lopez and Hey. Shame Jennifer died of old age, but Hey is still alive. And we've been part of Josh Gen for many years. We had the privilege of being part of the little group that came down from Port Elizabeth. I think many of you might have heard of Andrew that planted the church with a couple of people. We were a few of the couple of people. And we've had the privilege to see this church just grow. And from starting in a house with less than a quarter of you guys to having 60 churches and a whole field. And it's been amazing. It's been beautiful to see. And it's evidence of God. I just loved that little prayer that we did while the service was going. It wasn't orderly. We were moving chairs around. People were facing the wrong way. Mike and I were doing squats. Like, apparently this is a really healthy position to sit in. And there's something about God's a God of order, but there's a disorder when his people come together. Because we're family. We don't have a set way of doing it. And I just felt this so beautifully in the worship. I felt like the Lord's hand is stretched out for you guys. And I cry every time I speak. he's got so much more for you. And it's almost like some of you are sitting going, I feel it. I feel the draw, but I don't know how. Because we know what we know. We've grown up in church. Some of us have never set a foot in church. But we all have our mindsets. So today I just want to speak a little bit around the mindsets that we have, the stuff that we come into church with, because this thing is mind-blowing. This is confusing. I remember I got saved and I thought, I couldn't believe that there's this world full of God's power that I can speak to him and that I can hear him. And that blew my mind. And I was 25. And now I'm much older, and I've grown old in the church. And this is mind-blowing, but it's not supposed to be orderly. and structured. So I just want to speak a little bit about the things that hold us, our mindsets that hold us, not captive, but just the stuff we bring into church. Sorry, I've just got to adjust this thing. How do I level this? Just level it. Oh, amazing.
You want to hide?
No, that's fine. Thanks. So very practical. I've heard that you guys have been speaking about the Holy Spirit and that stuff's been happening in your church. And some of the Sunnydale PM guys came and they did a prophetic equip. For some of you that don't know what the prophetic is, I'm sure now you know. And a few weeks ago, somebody preached, I don't even know who it was, and there was an outbreak of the Spirit. I know Timu was here last week, one of the church planters. And we've been on a church planting course. Basically, we just said we put up our hand. Yeah, Lord, use us. And so I thought, I just want to speak about practical things, just things that we bring into the church with us. And I've got some questions. What does the Spirit do? What blocks him from doing what he does? And what can we do about it? And he does beautiful things. He's the messenger. He points at and lifts up Jesus. He calls us and saves us. He brings revelation. He leads us into all truth. He convicts us. He delivers us. He comforts. We hear his voice. We can feel his presence. He brings prophecy, and prophecy is just his heart for his people in the future. He gives us a new language. He heals us, and he trains us in righteousness. And the Bible says this about him. Thomas, if you could put up John 16. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. If you can go to the next verse. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. That's prophecy. He will bring glory to me, to Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So I have such beautiful stories about the Holy Spirit. He's set me free. He's given me a new language. He's trained me. And I just want to maybe tell you one story. So often he goes beyond what we expect. We don't know what this should look like. We don't know what God's going to do. We may even hear somebody speaking in a different language, in a different tongue. So we come into church and we've got all kinds of baggage and all kinds of stuff and all kinds of hurts and things that's happened to us. And we're really complicated. Like I remember Andrew calling his wife MC Little Complexia because she had so many issues. And in the days that I made a commitment or a recommitment, I stayed with them in their lounge. And they fought all the way from their house to church while I was getting a lift. So I'm a brand new believer. I'm going, geez, guys, these guys have got it together, and they're fighting like cat and dog. And then as I walk into church, it's like the nice, pretty church smiles, and they walk in and they sit down and they worship and they go home and they fight all the way back. And so we come in with our baggage and our stuff, and I had lots of baggage. I think Andrea too at one point tell me, can I tell you what I see in your life? And I went, yeah, sure. And he said, you are so messed up. You have mindsets that like is just not good. But now the picture was I came out of surfing, party scene, coming into church, and everyone is sitting around and they're all really sweet, like you guys. They're really friendly looking. They come and shake your hand. Then you worship and they put up their hands. And I'm going, these people are suspicious. I don't know what they want from me. I have nothing to give. But they are suspicious. But I don't know how messed up I was. I don't know the hurts, all the layers of hurts of the stuff that's happened in my past. Rejection, stupid decisions, all those things leave me with a lot of baggage. And at one point in worship, the Spirit started moving over the people. And he did disorderly stuff. And I'd never seen anything like that in my life. People started falling from one side of the church to the other side. It was like a wind came across the church. And I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And I saw it coming from that side towards me. And I had no idea what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to feel something. I knew I gave my life to God. But after that, I knew nothing. And when it got to me, I just felt like I just got blown over, but gently and softly. And when I fell on the floor, I didn't hurt. And I knew, no one could have had to explain to me, but I knew this was God. I knew this was the Holy Spirit. And you can resist. Something about the Holy Spirit is beautiful. You can stop him at any time. But something with a surrendered heart is, Lord, I want more of you. So you give in to his nudgings and to the stuff he does. And I ended up under somebody's chair with my head under the chair. And people stopped worshiping and they started, I didn't put my timer on, so I have no idea how long I'm going to speak. Let me just do this quick. And so now you're asking me, what am I doing under somebody's chair? So MC was sitting on this chair, Andrew's wife, and I just couldn't get up. And I just lay there. But in that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit filling me with peace, filling me with joy, and I didn't want to move. There's nothing about me that wanted to move. I didn't care who spoke, who preached, who did what, but I just wanted to stay there. So the guy, whoever was going to speak, got up, started doing this, what I'm doing now, and I lay under that chair with my head under MC's. And she was on the chair. I was still lying there. And then I started getting this uncomfortable feeling. Like, oh, there's a squirming inside of me. Something is not comfortable. But God, surely you're a God of peace, love, joy. And during that preach, I went through deliverance. And deliverance is just there's a stronghold in your life. There's something that you've opened a door to. There's things that happened in your life that you had no control over, or you even made a decision, and God decides in that moment, I'm going to use my Spirit to set you free. And that happened underneath MC's chair while she was sitting listening to the preach. And it was a process. It was me having a conversation with God, saying, God, what is this? I don't know what this is, but I don't want it because I don't feel, it doesn't feel right. And this is not part of you, I don't want it. And it was almost an interaction and a transaction taking place between me and the Holy Spirit. And I remember I got set free that day. And I was completely different afterwards. I love the way you're nodding at me. You're just agreeing with everything I'm saying. Don't nod if I say something dodgy. phones are so painful there. They close themselves. And then I've got to open it all up again. So what I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit will do what he does. He will blow where he wants to blow. He will pick a specific time to reveal himself to you. He will decide to set you free. And it takes a heart that desires him. But often he'll just do it. If we just remotely take a step towards him and say, Lord, here I am. So, and I'm hoping today as I'm speaking, I'm going to hopefully touch on one or two things that you can go, Lord, I want to take that step closer to you. I don't want that thing resisting you anymore. So what blocks him from doing what he does? I just wrote a whole lot of things down, but I'll just touch on one or two. What blocks him? Unforgiveness, if we refuse to forgive someone. Jesus starts our relationship with, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. But then you've got to keep on forgiving. And especially that person that did that thing to you, that you're going, yes, I forgive everyone but that person. Disobedience, if he is prodding you to do something and you just go, that's not convenient. It's a little bit intimidating. It's a bit scary. It's just going to take too much work. I remember breaking through in a specific thing in my work that I eventually became obedient to God. And the moment I did it, I was at work doing something. I felt God's presence. Not in church, not in a meeting, just because I obeyed him. I'll just mention some stuff. Slander, if you are speaking behind people's backs about them. Being critical or unbelieving. There's actually a sin of unbelief that the Bible mentions. So there's something that you can believe in your heart or not believe in your heart that's a sin. Shannon, you've got to stay awake now, yeah? No yawning. Yes, Tanya always tells me don't squirrel, but I'm going to squirrel so you can just relax a little bit. Mike and I used to compete. We used to do paddleboarding races. And there's always some guy right next to you that you're trying to beat and that you can't, and he was the guy. We were like seconds. No, 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 don't talk back. I've got the mic. No, so we were always racing. It was always like me or him. One he would win, the next one I would win. But I just want to let you know that I became a granddad a few weeks before you. 6 months ago. Okay, so I'm up. Okay, so the things that block God, that block the Holy Spirit moving. Critical unbelief. Traditions of man. Being comfortable. I just want to be comfortable and get a good preach and come and attend. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. He doesn't honor our comfort. Yes. Okay, it's a good comment. It's biblical. The word is always the highest truth, eh? Yes, I like it when you interrupt me. This is so cool. Fear. We could be fearful of the things of the Spirit. And I know you've been speaking about it and you've been seeing things happening and you've been going, even a drawing, but there could be a part of us that just goes, this is a little bit too crazy, a little bit too much for me. And I've got a beautiful story about a lady in our church in Sunnydale PM that came out of an abusive relationship, and she eventually her husband passed away, but she is just overcome with nervousness. She's got little tics and a little nervous laughter, and it's just deep insecurity. It's just years of manipulation and abuse and stuff. And we love her, and she would come for supper, but she's always just having this little nervous giggle. And at one point I asked the Lord, I'd love to see this thing gone. And I don't know what to say or what to do. We don't have the answers. And in one meeting, the Holy Spirit broke out. and he was just doing his thing. Some people were getting prayed for, some people were getting ministered to, and at one point she was standing in one spot, and the worship had stopped, and she stood in this one place, and we walked up to her, and she said, "I can't move. My feet are stuck to the ground. I can't move." And she wasn't fearful, but she was like quite perplexed about what's going on. "But I don't want to move." And then she carried on like a drunken person. Like, "But my pizza that I ordered earlier is going to get cold, and I can't get to the pizza." And that's in the coffee shop. "But I can't move." And she was just rambling on. But she was drunk in the spirit. She was overcome by him. He did something that didn't make sense. Her feet were stuck to the ground. I knew if she really wanted to, she could force her way out and walk and go and get a pizza, but she didn't want to. She just wanted to stay right there. And Tanya and I were laughing. We were going, "I wonder what that was about." No one knew. She spoke to her the next day, and she said, "I was lying on my bed shaking the whole night. I was quivering inside. I had the Holy Spirit all over me." And I thought, okay, that's beautiful. But that Wednesday, I went to visit the community, and she was there, and she spoke confidently with no giggle, no little nervous tick. That thing was completely gone. And no one had done anything. No one had said anything. No one prayed for her. But she was overcome by the Spirit, and he was brooding on her. And some of those things could be offensive to us, like, why is that person making that noise? Or why has that person got their feet stuck to the ground? Or why are they acting like drunk people? And I just want to shake our mindset a little bit. So on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, verse 1 to 13, I just want to read a whole section. And this is a picture of a church that is getting filled with power, that is overcome by, or that's getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And that looks quite disorderly. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, 'Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, all kinds of strange names, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine." So there's a beautiful preach on the 412 website called This Is That, that Andrew said he did. In 2023, I think. And he speaks about this. And I don't want to go into the same things that he said, but there's a couple of beautiful truths in that scripture. These amazing things happened. These disorderly things happened. Different languages were spoken to by people that didn't speak that language. And some were amazed, and some were perplexed, and then some mocked. And that sort of covers all of us. A lot of us will be amazed at God moving. We'll come to church on a Sunday, and he's moving, and his Spirit's moving, and people are being set free, and we see the freedom, and we feel his presence, and we feel his light, and his joy, and his freedom. And we're amazed. We're full of faith. But some of us are perplexed. And perplexed is like it's an intense, confounding, weighty, but confused emotion. like, I don't know what's going on here. And I'm really uncomfortable with this. And I don't know how to react or what to do. And I'm not comfortable in my own skin. And what is this stuff? And then there's people that mocked. And these are the dangerous ones. Because if you are going, this is not for me. I want nothing to do with this. I will sit and watch, but I will stand up in resistance in my heart. That's going, I'm resisting you, Holy Spirit. And that'll stop him from moving instantly, because he's a respecter of our hearts. He lures us and he draws us. But if you go, I don't want you, he won't come in. And that'll also affect all of us. Two or three people sitting here going, I don't want nothing to do with this, will actually affect how the Spirit moves amongst us, because he's kind and he's gentle and he draws, but he also responds to resistance. I like Arthur smiling at me. Must be saying something that you like. So the things that block is firstly that thing. We could be critical and we could think in our hearts, not interested. Don't want this. Then my comfort, just give me a good preach. But Holy Spirit, you stay over there. I believe in God the Father and Jesus saved me. But the Holy Spirit, you can just sort of stay on the side there. My traditions. Yes, we come in with baggage, eh? I grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church, and we stood up, we sat down, we sang a song, we took communion, and I left as quickly as I could, because I went, these people with their nice suits go home and they get drunk, and they fight with their wife, and they dishonor everyone else outside there, but on Sunday, it's whitewashed walls. Nothing like hypocrisy to chase us, to make us rebel. And then fear. We could be so fearful of what the Spirit does. We could be nervous of the spiritual things. We can fear that he'll embarrass you. I remember praying this, God, I'm so hungry for you. I want so much more of you, but please don't embarrass me. Please don't make me like these happy clappies, because they are nuts. I don't know what they're on. And they were jumping and they had their hands up. And I think he just wore me down, bit by bit. He just, like Tanya's favorite, he wore me down bit by bit until I got so desperate. I got so dry. I would be in a meeting like this and the Holy Spirit's moving and I feel nothing. And eventually I went, okay, God. And I started praying dangerous prayers. Okay, God, I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what I look like. I just want you. And God's very good at wearing us down. He will keep going until we're desperate for him, because he will finish what he started in us. So if we're unbelieving and critical, there's a verse that speaks directly into this. Ephesians 4 verse 30, you don't have to put it up. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Yes, there's so much in that scripture. We were sealed as a sign of salvation with the Holy Spirit, that he puts the Holy Spirit on us and in us. But don't grieve him, because we can resist him. Then our traditions, we could be sitting in the same chair, doing the same thing, lifting our hands to the same height every Sunday, going, we expect more. We want you, God. But something in me is just going, I'm willing to go this far. And I'm willing to not move from that chair. So if you find yourself sitting in the same chair every Sunday, worshiping in the same way every week, are you expecting freedom or are you bound by your own ways and your patterns and your religion? And God wants to break it. He's a God of wildness. I saw such a funny Instagram clip. This guy is trying to tie electrical wires together somewhere in Africa. But he's got a motorbike helmet on. And he's doing electrical work on this power box. So the motorbike helmet by itself shows you that this is not a good idea. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's got these two wires. And then he does the worst thing that you can think of. He takes the two and he puts it in his mouth. And he wants to obviously twist it and get it ready. But this thing's live. So it shocks him that he flies backwards, falls on the ground. But now he's in such shock that he jumps up in a second and runs straight into a wall. And then climbs over the wall in one movement. And it's just pure adrenaline. That's a bit of a picture of the Holy Spirit. I've seen whack stuff. Whack stuff when the power of God happens, comes, and you're not ready for it. Yes, I'm so tempted there. Tanya's got a language. She hates it when I shine the spotlight. But she's got this language that sounds like Chinese. So when she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she starts saying this little one-liner, yopopo, and then it becomes a whole sentence, and the sentence becomes a whole speech. But it sounds like an angry Chinese man. It's not like a friendly, loving. It's like she's shouting commands. So I've looked at her, and I thought, I don't know if you're declaring something. I don't know if you're fighting someone, or if you're just being bossy and tuning me, but it's like a Chinaman. And I think somehow you figured out that it means break the chains, that one little one-liner, your popo. But whenever the Holy Spirit starts coming into a meeting and she shouts, your popo, then we all go, okay, he's here. He's busy. We don't know what he's doing. So I just want to say to you, there are so many things the Holy Spirit will do that is completely outside of our plan, outside of our understanding. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know why he's doing it. But you've got to leave space for that. You've got to go, if God is going to break out in this church more and more and more, and I believe he is. I've almost had a smell of rain while we were worshiping. Like his storm clouds brewing. And he's coming. And he wants to pour out his spirit. And rain is a sign of life, sign of freedom, sign of growth. He's coming. But let's not let our mindset stop what he's doing. Let's not let our comfort stop what he's doing. Then how do we honor the Spirit? How do we not block him? There's a verse in Ephesians 4 that says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. See, so that just speaks about, let's just take him seriously. And even the stuff that he does that we don't understand, let's take that seriously. Let's make space for him. And that leaves you with a question, how much do you want him? Do you want him, or are your conditions too big? The scripture says he's a jealous God. But if you make your life an offering to him, he will have his way. Even if our lives are in chaos and messed up, that's fine. He goes beyond that stuff. Don't value your opinion too highly, your view of church, what you see church should look like. Value Scripture higher. Always look at the Scripture and go, is this in the Word? If the Word says it, I'll go there. And then just a practical tip. This is not a Sunday thing. This is a gathering of believers thing. It's going to be at someone's house. It's going to be while you're surfing with your friends. It's going to be in a coffee shop. It's just an attitude of, Lord, here I am. I'll give you my all. Yes, and I'm so aware of you, of the, our CSI students. Tiara brought a friend from the Netherlands, and I know it's your first time in a church, and you've never heard this stuff. One of the most helpful things I've heard is somebody said to me, if you want to know God, reach out to Him. Have a conversation and ask Him. Say, God, if you're real, speak to me. He goes beyond our understanding, beyond our traditions, beyond the things that we know and don't know. We don't have to know. So the Bible says there's a dividing barrier between us and God. And He is in the business of breaking down that dividing barrier. And all it takes is saying, here I am, Lord, speak to me. Show me that you're real. And God is slow. And He puts us in the right places to live and have our being. And then He wants to connect with us, and He draws us. So I won't be surprised if He starts speaking to you in the next while. But it's just being open to saying, Lord, here I am. God, here I am. I don't know you, but I would like to know you. And that's what I wanted to speak about. But I want to ask for a brave heart attitude. Is, are you willing to let go of your comforts, of your fears, of the unpredictability of God, the risk of what He's doing and could do in us? And all He wants is permission. All he wants is, yes, Lord, here I am. So could you guys stand with me? Yeah, let's close our eyes. I just want to pray a prayer over us. And if there's something in your heart that's been touched by this, what I've been saying, just quietly in your heart to say, Lord, I give you this thing. I give you my fear. I give you my not knowing. Because I desire you more. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here with us, that you're busy speaking your desires, that you're busy speaking into hearts, and that you're wanting to set free. You're wanting to draw us near to you. And you see every heart, Father. You see the reluctance, you see the hunger, you see the not knowing. And Jesus, we just want to come to you as your church, as your people, and say to you, here we are. Help. We bring you our stuff. Would you exchange it for you? Holy Spirit, would you come now? I pray for your joy that transcends all understanding. Your peace that covers. Would you come deep into men and women's hearts, Lord? Thank you that your burden is light and that your yoke is easy. And you want to lead us into all freedom. It's for freedom that you set us free. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Would you take us further? Would you take us deeper? Would you take more of us? We willingly give you these parts of ourselves, Lord. We pray this in your name. Thanks, Bobby.
Amen. Sure. It's amazing when God touches the heart, eh? So reminded of another scripture a couple of weeks ago. The Lord said to me, I'm going to give you a new heart. But a little time before that, he said to me, don't harden your heart to the place where you become a Pharisee and miss Jesus. And it's amazing how he preps you. And if you're in that place that you're willing to listen, how he will point out the areas in your heart that you're hardening yourself. And you think to yourself, me, never. You know? But actually, me, yes, definitely. And I think, thank you, Nikki, this message is that we go home, take this message, and we allow God to start almost massaging it in. And we start living it out the way we're supposed to. And see what he will do. And actually take the stand that we've said and pray these prayers every day. Say, Lord, here I am. Take my heart and change it. Change it. And as I want to say, I almost like, you get in school, I dare you to do that. I say, because I know I want to. I don't want to miss out on those moments. I'm sitting here going, yes, man, I want those moments when there's utter chaos. I want those moments when my feet can't move because I know God's got something for me. I want to see those moments when people are receiving a prophetic word and for the first time and God is speaking truth and they are so amazed by what God is doing in them. And just showering his love. Let this be the first moment of the new walk in a new season. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lekker. Go and have a lekker Sunday. Let me know what time you're braaiing. I will bring people. But have fun and enjoy. And remember, communities on Wednesday, open again.